For our Bible study today, I am directing your attention to some verses in the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, we'll begin our reading at verse 19 and read through verse 24. Verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Now, the lesson set out in the remainder of this chapter is one of self-sacrifice on behalf of others. The supreme example of the Lord Jesus Christ was first presented. That was followed by Paul's own example, willing to be poured out on the sacrifice of their faith. And now we have the examples of two men who were associates of Paul. First, there is servant Timothy, followed by the report concerning the suffering and sacrificing Epaphroditus. The verses I have read to you deal with Timothy. He also is the self-sacrificing servant. In thinking of Timothy as a servant, we'll consider him first of all as a trusted servant. Then we'll consider him as a true servant. And last of all, as a trained servant. Timothy then was a trusted servant. Perhaps most of my listeners today will be familiar with the occasion when Timothy first joined the evangelistic team. While Paul and Silas set out on what is commonly referred to as Paul's second missionary journey. Then they came to the place where Timothy was located. He was a young man, and Paul would have him to join in with them on their missionary tour. Later on, of course, they were joined by a fourth member, Dr. Luke. Now, in the course of Timothy's association with the Apostle Paul, he had proved himself to be a loyal and dependent helper in the work of the Lord. During times of crisis in various churches, he was given assignments by Paul which required self-sacrificing service on behalf of others. Besides the occasion that we read of here in the Philippian letter, I draw your attention to the fact that in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, and chapter 3, we discover there that Timothy was given a very special assignment. So Paul trusted him as a servant. He sent him back to Thessalonica. The Christians there were passing through times of severe testing. Paul couldn't go back because of the riot that had been held in that city, and he was hounded out. If he had gone back at that time, it might have made matters worse. However, he was still anxious to know how the Christians in Thessalonica were progressing. So therefore, he decided that he should forfeit the company of Timothy for a little season, and he sent Timothy up to Thessalonica in order to help the Christians in that city. He was to exhort them and comfort them and help them with regards their faith. Then there came the time when Timothy came back and gave his report to Paul. The result was this, that Paul sat down and wrote them a letter which we have today, and it's called the First Epistle to the Thessalonians. So Timothy proved himself to be a trusted servant at that time when he was given that assignment. Later on, he was given a more difficult assignment. There was trouble in the church at Corinth. These people at Corinth were making great mistakes. In fact, they had lost, as it were, their very center of gathering. No longer were they giving the Lord his correct place, but they were following men. They were also allowing much immorality in the church, that is, amongst their members, without bringing down the hand of discipline. Now, the condition of things in Corinth was very difficult, yet we find that Paul was sending Timothy to Corinth. Remember, he was still a young man. How would he be received by the Christians at Corinth? Yet Paul sent him on this very difficult assignment to point out certain truths to them and to tell them what Paul preached in all the churches, to tell them what other churches were doing according to apostolic teaching. So he had this great assignment to go to Corinth. Then again you find when Paul was writing his first letter to Timothy himself, Timothy at that time was resident, you would say, in the city of Ephesus. Difficulties had developed in that church, and young Timothy was sent there in order to help them to correct the mistakes that were being made. He was to help them through their difficulties and give to them, as it were, the teaching of the Word to show them what was right and what would be well-pleasing to God. Now remember, Ephesus was a city where the Apostle Paul himself spent 3 years. And then they also had a group of men who were acknowledged as elders. You find that by reading the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, and Paul's address to the Ephesian elders. But then things had gone wrong, and he sent Timothy along in order to teach them and help them in their time of difficulty. Now you must admit with me, these were very difficult assignments. Yet, I suggest to you that Timothy was the servant that Paul sent to these places when he himself was unable to go. He looked around, and the best man he could find was his young friend, Timothy. I suggest, therefore, in the light of these facts, that Timothy could be well termed a trusted servant. Paul trusted him. May I suggest that whether it be in a spiritual sense or in a secular sense, a servant must be trusted. You take a man in business. He needs somebody, perhaps, to take the desk in the office. He knows that there's much private business to be transacted over that desk. There will be personal things to be attended to. If he is going to assign someone to take charge of that desk and perhaps to look after the business during his absence, he'll need somebody he can trust absolutely. You see, if you cannot trust your servant, how can you leave him to carry on the business? So therefore, when an employer is going to employ somebody in a position of trust, he'll need somebody that he himself can trust, a trusted servant. That being so, we come to a verse here, and here is what the apostle says as he writes to the believers at Philippi. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. You see, the point is this. He's going to send Timothy now on this assignment to Philippi. Things are not altogether 100% correct at Philippi. Oh, there's a little fly in the ointment, no doubt. There's the possibility of things developing there that may cause some kind of internal strife in the church at Philippi. Paul is stressing the need for unity. He has been stressing the need for harmony, stressing the need for humility. Now he says, I'm sending along someone whom I can trust. He'll come along, and I want you to know he's a man who will care for you. So Timothy was not only a trusted servant, Timothy was a true servant. Timothy had such a quality of soul that he genuinely cared for the spiritual state of other Christians, including the believers at Philippi. Notice the concern he showed for others. Says Paul, he will care for your state. Now, I want to stress here at this point, we do well as Christians to keep in mind at all times there is a difference between our standing and our state. For example, our standing is in Christ. If we have been accepted in Christ, then that standing can never be changed. Once in Christ forever, yea, forever is the word. Nothing can ransom sever, not divide them from the Lord. That's our standing in Christ. God has accepted us in Christ. But what we are in Christ is one thing. Our state may be a different thing. Our state is what we are while living down here on earth. And sometimes our state does not correspond with our standing. You see, it is one thing for a person to be saved and have a standing in Christ, but it is also important to maintain a state corresponding to that standing. Let me illustrate that. I was on one occasion traveling along the main street in a certain well-known European city. On the other side of that city street, there were three or four men dressed in the uniform of the United States Navy. Their ship was in at port at the time, and they were spending, as it were, an afternoon or a few hours on the city streets. Hundreds of people traveling to and fro on those streets, some doing shopping, some just sightseeing, but there they were. And those few American naval men were rather conspicuous with their uniforms. But unfortunately, they were not marching along in the usual style. They were just shoveling along the street any old way, and their hats were not at the proper angle. In fact, if you had looked at them, you might have concluded that they had been indulging a little in the alcohol. The way that their hats were cocked on their head and the way they were behaving. In plain words, their state did not correspond with their standing. They were not presenting themselves as good representatives of the United States Navy. Just at that moment, I noticed two men just a little round the corner, and by their uniforms you could tell that they also were in the American forces, but they had a rather peculiar position. They were what you might call the policemen of the Navy. They had their bands round their arm, which would indicate that. Well, the moment they turned the corner and these men saw them, a change took place, but it was rather late. These policemen had noted them before the men noted the police, and I noticed they had a confrontation. I don't think that anything came out of it so far as being taken in, but I think they were reprimanded, because immediately their hats were straightened up, they themselves straightened up, and they acted like real naval men. You see, their state and their standing was supposed to correspond. They were to behave like men who were members of the Navy. Now, likewise, he says he'll have a concern for you. He'll have a concern for you and for your state. He wants your state to correspond with your standing. You are believers. You are in Christ. But at the present time, you're not acting like it. You're acting like children. You're falling out with one another. So therefore, Timothy will come along. I'll send him along. And when he comes, I want you then to listen to what he's got to say. He'll care for your state. He'll instruct you. Now, not only will he have a concern for others, there is a contrast between Timothy and others. Says Paul, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. See, here's a contrast between Timothy and others. Some were self-centered, and naturally were self-seeking, caring only for their own things. Timothy was willing to put the interests of others and the interests of the Lord Jesus Christ first, no matter what the cost might be. It may be possible that there, right in the church at Philippi, there were some people who were seeking their own interests. It may be they were seeking some kind of position. It may be they wanted some kind of authority. At least it was for their own interests, not for the interests of others, and not for the interests of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then when we take that lesson and apply it to ourselves, what is the message to us? What is our objective or our objectives in life? Is it for ourselves? Do we want to promote self? Or is our objective for the benefit of others? Or do we do it with a high objective? It's all to be done with a view to promoting the things of our Lord Jesus Christ. We used to teach the children a little chorus many years ago. The words were these, J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this is what it means. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. You get the thought, don't you? If you want joy, that real joy, Christian joy, you must put the Lord Jesus Christ and his interests first. Then you put others second and yourself last. That then would correspond to the quality of a true servant. So Timothy was not only a trusted servant, he proved himself to be a true servant. But then there's another little thought. Timothy is a trained servant. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Timothy, a trained servant. Timothy learned how to work in harmony with others. Paul says so. You know that he worked with me, and he worked as a son with the father. If a son is going to work with his father, he'll have to work in harmony, and no doubt he'll have to respect his father. Timothy then worked with Paul. He recognized that Paul had a great amount of experience beyond him. He realized that he was just like an apprentice. He was learning, and he would learn by working in harmony with others. He worked in harmony with Paul. He worked in harmony with Silas. He worked in harmony with Dr. Luke. So working as a team, he learned how to work in harmony. That appears to be one of the things that was being violated in the city of Philippi, in the church there, that spirit of harmony. However, here was the man who was learning how to work in harmony. Then Timothy could work in humility with others, as a son with a father. This would mean giving recognition and reverence and respect. You see, if one is going to be a servant, he must give recognition to those who are superior to himself. He must give reverence where it is due, and he must show respect to those who have to be respected. It's possible, again, that in the church at Philippi, there was a lack of such things. Maybe they were not given that recognition. Maybe they were not showing that spirit of reverence. Maybe they were not showing respect for others. You know, we're living in a day when these things appear to have been jettisoned, or if you like, thrown out of the window. Today, the idea is, Jack's as good as his master. We're all one. We must have our rights, must you? Well, my friend, we've got to learn that there are certain people to whom we must give necessary recognition. And then there are some people who ought to be reverenced. Especially we should show reverence to God. We should show reverence to the things of the Lord. And there are certain people who must be respected. Children should respect their parents. Children at school should respect the school teacher. We should respect those who represent the law. And so therefore there are certain people, because of the position they hold, they call for respect. Then again, Timothy could work in hardness with others. Paul and Timothy manifested the same objective in life and could work together for the furtherance of the gospel. Bearing the same yoke, they could pull together and help one another to bear the burden. So therefore, says the apostle, that's the man I'm sending to you. I'm sending Timothy. He's a servant. As a servant, he'll come. And he'll teach you what it means to be a true servant. Just watch him, and you'll learn your lesson. Not only do I trust him, I want you to trust him. Because I tell you this, that Timothy is a true servant. And if he's true, he's trustworthy. But then again, I want you to learn this. He's a trained servant. He's been well trained. He has learned his lesson. He's learned it well. And when he comes to you and teaches you what to do, you work in harmony with him. Show all humility as he does. Work in harness with him. It will be for your good. So I'm sending him along to you, and more than that. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. In plain words, he's saying this: I want to send Timothy, I want you to listen to him, and in due course, if I'm freed from the prison, I'll pay you a visit.